Hump Day Quickie's Swingers Confessions is intended for mature audiences only and contains explicit language and sexual situations. This is not intended as any professional advice. Welcome to Hump Day Quickie's Swinger Confessions. Here in the sex apartment, we share our own sex-positive stories and welcome our friends to open up about their experiences in the ethically non-monogamous lifestyle. J&J returned to tell us more about their favorite travel destinations. When it comes to best experiences, Julianne's 8-person gangbang and James getting head from 5 women make the top of their lists.
And we're back in the sex apartment once again. James and Julianne joining us. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
Welcome, welcome.
Once again, before we get moving, gotta talk about only 3 days left for the contest.
3 days.
3 days. Get your essays in, get your stories in, whatever you guys want to write about, now is the time. If you have not submitted yet, make sure you do it. There is a link in the show notes, a link on our socials, swingerhelp.com. They've got it for you. Make sure you get your stories in. We want you guys to have a chance to go on this trip to Miami Vices, hosted by Libertine Events.
And you'll get to meet us. I mean, what a better prize.
I would agree. I don't know if you guys would, but hey, why not?
I mean, just to say hi.
Now, let's see. Where should we begin? How about,
what do you feel the lifestyle does for you guys?
For your relationship.
I think it creates a very exciting life. It allows us to express ourselves creatively, sexually, together, however it may come. No expectation as to what we're going to do or how it may plan out. Creates good conversation between its good dialogue.
The first part of our relationship wasn't that, then the second part was it. I think it was just a progression from middle school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 20 years, it's like you go to college. Mm-hmm. Like now what? Now you know exactly what you like, exactly what you don't like, exactly what you want.
Yep.
I just know a lot of boring people. And a lot of boring lives. I mean, I just sat and talked with a lady who don't date her husband. She don't get dressed up. She don't, you know, I sat across from her and said, well, this session is going to cost you. I said, because I'm about to help your life. But you got to want it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just when you are doing this and you see how other relationships function, like we knew a couple actually related to me, who was really on the edge of things. And apparently the male was more outgoing in that area than the female. So when the female asked me, like, how do you even deal with this? It's not a feeling attached to it for me. So it's not something that I have emotion toward.
Right.
You know, it's play. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be play. So I don't have a feeling like, oh, when we leave here, he might try to call somebody, or, you know, I don't have any worries like that. But for them, I think it was a problem in the past. So I said, let's just go. You stay over there. We're going to stay over here and just see how you like it. And I think they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who knows? They probably do stuff where they live.
Yeah.
None of my business. But if that helped their relationship, people don't know what they like until they know what they like.
I think sometimes people take it too seriously in the sense where you're saying like there's no emotion tied to it for you. And I'm the same way. It is about having fun. It is about going out and just not really thinking about it. And we come together at the end of the night and we have a great time. That's all I care about. That's all I, you know what I mean? If we had fun with other people, great. But if we didn't, I'm also not like butthurt about it either. It's not like I'm not bringing it home and I'm not like upset about it. It just is like, it just is what we do. It's, I don't know. We always have fun. I think we have fun, whether we're just being social, we have fun. If we're being sexual, we just kind of have fun.
Some
with
of our best nights were those nights where we went in going, we are not playing. And there was no pressure on finding somebody. It was just, hey, let's just go be ourselves, have fun, flirt, talk to people and just enjoy it.
But I do think it's never a dull moment. We always have something to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have something to do, we have that to do.
Yeah, you can find something.
Yeah, it's not like I like to do that every single weekend. I like to do regular things. But if we don't have a regular thing to do, then we can always do that.
Now, one thing that was funny, the story at the club once, we had a threesome once with this lady, and she came all the way to have a threesome with us before having it with her guy. Like, she said she wanted to experience it with a couple before she would give her boyfriend a threesome.
Okay.
So she actually came and met us at one of the places. And
a couple times, I believe.
Yeah, and had the whole threesome, and he still never got one.
Nope, did everything I need to. We're good.
Yeah, so I was like thinking like, oh, man, well, I don't know if he has now, but I'm just right. That's crazy. I didn't even think that was a thing, you know, yeah, but a lot of people can't have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of couples can't have the conversation.
How would you recommend that conversation start?
At the very beginning of a relationship.
No.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you finally meet someone,
someone after out this,
and you're single right and now. You're already into that life, yeah, first day. I'm not going to be like,
this is what I do. Yeah. Are you okay with it? Would you like to join?
Yeah.
I would, you know, at this age and maturity in my life, I wouldn't want to beat around the bush about
something.
Oh, no,
that's
like
first
that.
Date. If I was single, that's the first date. Yep.
I completely agree.
Oh, so we're just going to go have drinks. Let's go on up to this place.
At this club, I know.
Yeah, this club, I know.
What the fuck?
I don't know how that would work out if somebody took me on a first date. They're like, oh, my God. Hey,
you'll know who they are after you walk inside.
Immediately, yeah.
She'd be like, I'm out of here. All right. Call me. Right. Need an Uber?
Right.
Other than that, it's like, hey, I know you got to make yourself happy in these. Days and times.
Now, what about a couple that has where one of them's been thinking about it for a while? One of them hears his buddy's stories and all that.
Go out with that couple that you know are into it. Okay. Spark the conversation, or have him spark the conversation. Because that's what happened with some like in-laws that we know that weren't a part of that. But I told him, like, you know, like the argument she had told me earlier, I was saying, like, wait a minute, how is it fair? He's a married man, married to this lady for all these years, paying bills, security, taking care of her.
His job.
Getting up middle of the night if the gun, if someone comes to danger, you know what I'm saying? But a single guy can go to the bar and talk to two girls sitting at the bar and get a threesome tonight. I said, that's so unfair. He has way more value. So he deserves what them people are getting. Those guys shouldn't be getting it that easy from the outside looking. They should be having to buy the flowers and do the candy and work the, you know what I'm saying, to work their way in. So I was just like, you know, it shouldn't be no husband. Well, what Kanye say after 10 years?
He deserving a menage.
Yeah. That's what Kanye West said.
If you Kanye know, it, said it, it must be so. That's, okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, I think compromising is, you know, when it comes to couples, compromising is one of the big things. And if that's something that's a fantasy.
No, I don't know if you would put it as a compromise. That have to be a mutual agreement. I would think it's more of an agreement than a compromise, because when you compromise, it's kind of like you're.
That's how you end up crying on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Compromise, I don't think it's the word. I think it's an agreement. I think that's what we came to, an agreement.
And then technically you did, and you baby stepped it to the point where you're at now.
Yeah, because compromise is such a negative word to me. Like, you're giving
up something. It's like somebody's losing something.
Yeah, like you're losing something so somebody else can have something.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we had it together.
Right.
Yeah. But then it gets to the point where you just want to see the spouse as the porn star. You want to just.
I try to be.
But then we never had those type of nights. We just go and I'm like, you just do. I'm just going to sit here the whole night and watch. I just want to see you do your thing.
Because that wouldn't do anything for me.
Why not?
Be surprised.
You say what?
All right.
I said you'd be surprised.
Because I would.
She just had a weekend. Let me tell you.
I know. I've heard your stories. I think I'm more comfortable with him around.
He didn't say he wasn't going to be around. He wanted to watch.
So like house, like house parties. Mm-hmm. Like if we've been to multiple house parties and we may not even be in the same room, but we're in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a little.
You're going to keep poking in and looking in on that room, but you know.
Can't confirm.
I don't think that I could just like go off. That's just me, because I'm not looking for that. That's not what I like all of it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a big part of being his porn star is knowing that he's watching me. That's, for me, the turn on. If I'm just playing and he's not, for me, he has to be in the room, because I like to look up and see his eyes.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, like that. That's fine. I'm just talking about just. Mm-hmm.
Just playing alone, though, it's not really, and I'm with you there. Like, it's not a huge turn on if he's not around, and I know that, like, I mean, I'm still having fun, But
I was gonna say it's still a turn off for me, just so you know.
I know
hearing the stories when you come back, yeah, that,
he
that
likes,
works.
But I'm terrible at telling the story.
That,
I'm
that's always true like, too.
Eh. That, that, so you go sometime alone and then come tell the story.
Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants the story, but I'm terrible at telling the story.
I've discovered she can write the story. She can type it down.
Yeah.
But if I say, okay, tell me what happened. We fucked.
Oh, yeah. Like there was a penis.
Went in me.
Went in me.
We're done.
It's so unsexy. I'm so bad at it. But anyways, I like it when he's there because he's making his porn in his head while he's watching me. I don't have to tell him anything.
Yeah. Got you.
So he's putting it all together.
Yeah, I like that part.
Yeah.
And I like to sit back and watch too.
Yeah.
With my magic wand.
Yeah. And I'm learning I like that too.
Yes, you are.
Because for the longest time, it was always he wanted to watch. And then so I was always playing. And I mean, I would get off that way. But now I'm realizing that I really like watching him as well. So then, you know, the reverse. But I haven't had that opportunity to just maybe one time now, just sit back and watch it and actually like take care of myself while you go at it.
Yeah. So we keep working on
it. I mean, and that's the thing with us. Well, you could do we don't it really, in, yeah. In the, it's like whatever the moment is gonna call for, or we're not like planning it. You know, it's not like tonight I'm gonna sit back and you're gonna play. Like we never really. There's not that discussion doesn't happen. Yeah. So it's just kind of like happens when it happens, and then we're like, oh yeah, I kind of like that. Or
and
I
let's
didn't
be honest,
like
if I'm taking you to the club, it's gonna be a rare occasion where I find something and you don't. So
and I don't. Yeah. I'm usually
the one that'll fall back and just exit and just and sit just back and watch. And then I'll hop back in. Yep.
Well, that's easier for
I may
a
need
girl
a break.
Yeah.
It's easier for a girl to sit back and watch.
Yeah.
I disagree.
No, you sit back and watch all the
all
time.
All the time.
You sit back, you'll fall back, especially if it's a guy in the room, you'll fall back.
I think girls have more excuses, like valid excuses to sit back and watch than guys do.
But there has been many times that guys have come in the room and they be all worked up and they can't perform.
And then they can't, yep.
And you know what? I try to make them feel as comfortable as possible and say it's okay. Because I'm not looking for it. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm not like, oh, you didn't come here and you couldn't fuck me.
Right.
Like, I don't care. I got a dick in here. I don't care nothing about that. I just like the vibe and the environment. And however that come, I mean, if you just want to give a head, that's fine, too. Yep. I don't necessarily have to have anything.
That's cool
but
sometimes.
But whatever happens.
When I come pay that money a lot of times, I want something to happen.
Oh, yeah. He don't like going in the room.
Like, I see a lot of people come to the club, and they'll just be leaving. Like, oh, yeah, we're gone early. I'll be like, they ain't even take their coats off. They ain't going to do nothing.
For me, I just love being in that place. I could hang out in the club all night. And
but that's what I told her, like, some nights, like maybe an off week or maybe, you know, something like that. Like, well, let's just go there and just sip and drink and just talk to some people. Yeah. Meet new friends. We don't got to do nothing. Mm-hmm. She's like, nope, nope, we're fucking. I'm like,
all right.
All right. I mean, if we have to.
I'll do better this year with that.
Yeah.
I'll change
life goals
this year.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
For me, there are times where I'm like, all right, I'm going to go, but we're not doing anything because I just don't feel like it. It's the opposite. I'm just like, all right.
But if it's an off week, I'd rather just stay at home and
Netflix well, and then chill, that's know? The I'm going because he wants to go.
Yeah,
well,
there'll be a theme that I just love people watching. And
if it's an off week for a lady, you should make sure you go and make sure you find some head for him there. That's all you have to do.
Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. Oh, okay. Like, see, got you.
Like, are you a unicorn? We were looking for you.
All right.
Found you. Come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No?
Way after 21 years, you learn something.
See, there you go.
Okay. Here we go.
That's why you're really going.
Was this a setup? No.
I didn't see that one come. All right. Let's jump into some of your favorite stories. Some of those best experiences.
The head by like four or five people at once. That was a lot of fun. That was something off my bucket list. That was interesting.
Now, how'd you line that up?
It was just that many ladies there and I was at the right place at the right time. Like, hey.
Like you pull up a chair and just stand in the chair? Like, come on, somebody.
I think it was like, then another time, it was like ladies at the club, like three single ladies came to the club and they just liked her. So it was like,
Hey. He was just the extra.
Hey, it's some dick hair.
I was going to say.
You need anything?
You brought the cock, yeah. So.
Some dick hair. Anybody want some?
Nice.
I don't know. I think my favorite times was.
Probably that 8-guy gang bang.
Topic.
That I walked in on. I went to get a drink. Come back.
Anyway, I like the male, female. I like that because it feels so natural and it's all about me.
Yeah.
Everything is focused on me. And, you know, I kind of like the sucking dick and getting fucked at the same time. It's just, you know, I like that.
That's nice.
That's
yeah.
My thing. We had a female friend that would travel with us and go places with us. And, you know, we used to always have really good times because it was very comfortable. I like comfortable situations. I don't like uncomfortable mm-hmm. situations. Mm-hmm. I don't like when the vibe is off
awkward.
Or when something is forced or awkward. I don't mm-hmm. like that. Kind of had a little situation like that this weekend, but not forced or awkward. You know, I just, maybe it was me.
Do tell.
Like she was saying at home, it's like, it just, sometimes afterwards, it just feel like, nah. You know, like, okay, that was cool, or I guess it was, or
like just, I did that.
Yeah, yeah, like, you
okay.
Know.
Yeah.
Right. Like expectations, like you said, when you have mm-hmm. the expectations and you're, hey, it's going down tonight, 8:00, it's like, all right.
It's, you build that shit up in your head.
You build it up, and it's never... too much expectation.
Oh, yeah. We had a good time. We were in Jersey one time at a hotel takeover. The whole ballroom was like one big, huge orgy room. That was insane. It was about 120 mattresses in the ballroom. Like, they had turned the whole hotel into like a dungeon and everything. That was a good time. That was one of my favorite times.
I'm going to tell you, you like that kind of thing. You got to go to Naughty Nollins. That was...
Oh, that might be...
That's got some shit.
I might want to do that.
Again, I went to the room to get 2 drinks.
Oh my God.
Gang bang over here. As soon as I get back, she's just going crazy in the party room. I'm like, hey. Like,
I
tag me
you
in.
Alone the-
Like, man.
Been there.
Hey.
It just depends on the people. Like, when we have, like, our crew of people that we really click with, and it's about 6 of us. Oh, boy, it's a good. Oh, we used to throw hotel parties. We started our own Facebook group. Early okay. on too.
Okay.
And that's how we got a lot of the singles and the couples and things like that. And my problem is Monday through Friday, I don't really think about this stuff.
Right.
It's the weekend. And that's probably the reason why we don't have as much fun as we could be having, is because I don't work it up in the middle of the week mm-hmm. to lead to the weekend. I just wing it.
Right. Right. No, and I do the same thing, is I try to, my brain just doesn't go there. And then he's like, oh, I have these plans for such and such, which I think we would probably never do things if it were left up to me.
If I left it to you, we would sit at home doing nothing.
Right.
Or it would be very last second. Like, we got to do this now.
And then it would be like, oh, shit, I picked the last second and it was shit. And then,
now we don't have a parking spot. So when you guys travel with your friends and you're going to lifestyle functions, are you meeting new people while you go out, or are you pretty much sticking with the people you're traveling with?
A little bit of both.
Because something we're learning about is we've gone to a couple lifestyle things out of state and brought friends with us. On a couple of occasions, we kind of stuck close to our friends, and on a couple of occasions, we branched out, but like, we're kind of trying to figure out that balance.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys find you like? Do you like kind of branching out, meeting new people?
Yeah, because you might be there with your friends and, you know, maybe you already have fun with your friends already and you see somebody like, hey, we'll be back.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we'll be back. You know, something.
And then sometimes, like I have a friend, she's my, how do I put this? She's the go-getter person.
Okay.
You're the ultimate wing woman?
Yeah, she's my wing woman. Ultimate wing woman. She'd be like, which one we want? You want that one over there? Okay, I'll be right back. Bring her back.
Ultimate wing.
And I love hanging with her because she does all the things that I don't want to do.
Nice.
So, and then it turns out okay.
Good balance.
We need a couple of those.
I know. I was like, yeah. I need to get me one of those.
I was going through our Rolodex going, who would do? No. Damn it.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, is it me that runs? I don't know. Anyway. By setting up, yeah, I think it is me. By setting up those plans.
You might sometimes. Okay.
But we do need to start just opening up and preparing, and maybe, I don't ever look at the website to see who's coming.
Oh my God, that's.
I never do that.
I count the numbers. Okay, 10 more added this week. Who's it? Let's find it. Let's find who's new.
Who's the new?
Yep.
Who's the new?
Oh, okay.
She doesn't be on the page. I'm the one that goes to the page.
Same.
Yeah.
Same here.
But the problem is, he might have chatted with a couple or a guy or something. And I get there, I don't even know. And so they may think I'm being funny or acting weird or something. And I don't even know who these people are.
Play along.
I do my best to play along. There have been occasions where somebody's come up to me and they're like, oh, they know my name. They know a whole bunch of information about me. And I'm like, I have no idea who this is. And then
she comes up, hey, that person over there just said hi to me.
And I always know exactly, and I'll go nudge him and I'll be like, who did I just talk to? Because I just pretended like I knew them, but I don't.
Well, honestly, if he left it all up to you, would you all have that many
dates? We wouldn't. No. Right. And I don't get mad about it. It's just the catching me off guard and I'm not prepared and I have no idea. And I'm sure the look on my face has got to look like, who the fuck are you and why are you talking to me? Like, that is probably, and I'm doing my best not to look that way.
Oh, no, she'll say, no, not them, no, not her, no. Don't even ask. Don't even think about it. I'm like,
I'm a visual person. Mm-hmm. And I do this as a turn on. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't do it just to do it. I don't do it just to, you know, just, oh, okay, well, we're all here. Let's, you know. I like to be fully engaged, fully turned on, and you know, if it's not there, it's just not there.
It's not there. Yeah. No, I hear that.
And it don't even have to be a look. It could just be like a guy that just talked too much and just very, you know, just doing too much, and that'll mm-hmm. just throw the whole thing mm-hmm. off. Mm-hmm. You know, it does not have to be a visual thing. It could just be a person thing.
Sure. Yeah, we've been there.
Let's get into the resorts.
Top one.
What do you like there?
They have a fuck pool. Like, everyone's in the pools fucking.
I don't know. Jamaica was just it was like sex camp. I think we had a different threesome every day.
Nice.
Like, literally. It was like, okay, wait.
Oh. Can't go wrong.
How did we wind up in this room at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah, but it was that was cool. But Jamaica was the best. Temptation is a very, in Cancun, very sexy vibe. We had a couple threesomes there too. That was cool.
I like Temptation because it's not all swingers.
Yeah.
You see some people that are there that are curious about it. You see some people there that have never heard of it and were like, oh, look, that's a good rate. And they don't even, wait, there's a topless pool here? Oh, shit. But you watch their inhibitions kind of melt away the longer they're there. Mm-hmm. So
did you
it's
fun people photo watch. Shoot?
I did not, no.
What's the photo shoot?
A Temptation.
They offer a photo shoot. And they come in and stage you.
Is it like a boudoir thing where you're
it's
like kind of sexy?
Like.
Or, okay.
We'll have to show you some photos. Yeah,
oh. Okay.
They come to the room and set you up and do a whole little photo shoot.
Those are nice.
I've seen some of those.
Check them out.
Yeah.
Atlanta, I think that was the first place where we, at Trapeze, where we had to just drop our clothes. That was like our first experience of everything must be off before you come back there. So once at Trapeze in Atlanta. Yeah. And once we did that, it was like, now it's time to put on a show.
Preston like that with the towels. Mm-hmm.
I guess. But Atlanta was like, it had more of like a Roman theme, and it was hot tubs and stuff in there as well.
And how did you feel about that? Were you apprehensive about?
No. When I'm out of town, I'm a whole different animal. In town, I'm very conservative because he does have friends that, close friends that come to the club that are like brothers. So it's kind of weird for me. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I don't never really ask you how you felt about it, but I just stay clothed a little more. And then if I go in the back, then, you know, but out of town, I don't wear clothes. These people don't know me and I don't know them. Ride this out until I can't anymore. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, I don't mind. I'll leave the doors open. We'll do it wherever, out of town. But in town, like, we'll have to say, hey, you stay on this side, especially if it's a doors off night. You stay over there. Don't come over here. We're over here.
No peeking.
No peeking.
How do you feel your friendships are? If you were to compare your, like, a vanilla life friendship versus a lifestyle friendship.
Oh, man. Well, we really only have, like, most of our vanilla friends have kind of fell off a little bit because you don't really.
It happens.
I mean,
we have much in common once you start going to the, you know, once you start.
But we do have some real good vanilla friends that we do. We have a couple that we do a lot of different things and travel with on that side.
Do they know about this side?
Yeah.
I think, but they don't. And so what happened was they went on a cruise with us for my
20th. They know, but they don't know.
I don't think they know. They know. They call it an adult sleepover.
Yeah, they know.
But they don't. I don't
y'all
think.
Y'all going to one of them adult sleepovers again, ain't you?
But they don't know exactly what that
is. They haven't
entails.
Asked or clarified.
No, it's like a don't ask, don't right. tell. But we were on a cruise for my 20-year class reunion. So my whole class is there. It's about 80 of us. And this couple from church that we travel with. We go on the stage and we're doing the couples competition. So you got the newlyweds, you have us, and an arranged marriage Indian couple. Oh. He goes in the back, you know, they ask the questions, you know how it goes. Where was the best place you had sex at? My answer was the spot. He goes into details and say, well, there's this club where we live, a swingers club, and I don't know if you ever remember Allie McBeal when mm-hmm. she used to shrink down and yeah. run up. I wanted to shrink because now I know my whole class, high school class, just, is there. I know everybody is there. I'm like, oh my God.
Then the next week you see half her high school class at the
at
club.
At the club.
That's
the
fair. Club. Yep.
They were right there. Like, ha!
Oh my God. So yeah, I think a lot of people know now. They didn't know.
What's left on your bucket list?
Done it all. I don't know.
Well, she's a big squirter. I want to see, you know, you ever saw where the lady be tied up and the magic's wand there and she can't stop it and can't touch it and can't hold.
Oh, that's on and your bucket list?
That's I'm just thinking.
You just want to see me wet the room up.
Yeah, that'll just wait.
Sign me up for that. I watch that.
I've never done DP before. It would have to be a comfortable situation.
Sure.
You know, I would have to know what I'm getting into. We have to know who's going where.
Yeah. Very planned out.
You know, it would have to be a very comfortable situation. And I would have to really be really on, like.
Just recently just tied relaxed. Up in Fort. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you might get it then. That might be. No. Might be the trick. I don't know. I would have to get out my head.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is getting out my head about it.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing that I really haven't done. Have I? Do you have anything you want to do? You said what you want to see me do. What do you want to do?
That's how my fantasies go.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
So yeah. You have did DP before?
No.
No.
I have no interest in. I mean, I think it looks great. I don't know that I would want to be on the receiving end of it. Like, I love watching it.
I'd love to watch it too.
I know.
I do. I mean, I think, you know, that's how a lot of the things I've tried is because I've seen it. Like, wow, that looks really like she's having a great time.
Mm-hmm. You know? I'm like you. I think it would have to be a super controlled environment. Like, it would have to be some people that I'm really comfortable with. Everything would have to be super planned out. I'd have to be really relaxed. And I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could get there. Like, I don't know if mentally I could get there in that situation. Because I'm a very highly anxious person just in my day-to-day life.
I don't get that from you.
Just a little. Really, it's all going on in my head. And like,
well, you control it very well.
I will say, while you were at the club, you hide it very well.
Yeah.
Well, and then also, when we get in the car and you tell me helps, you were like, wait, what?
I mean, alcohol helps. Huge
yeah.
amounts, but also at the same time, it takes away a lot of sensation too. So like for me, if I drink too much, which I haven't really gotten to that point in a long time, but then coming becomes more difficult. So now, sure, I'm relaxed, but also I'm going to be in there for half an hour trying to get myself to come. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so like you got to.
Maybe you would need more of a home environment.
Right. So it would have to be super planned out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you learned along the way that maybe surprised you?
Tonight. I learned that I don't like really, 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 really big dicks.
Me either.
Me neither. I don't know. We had a guy. I think that was our last run with him not too long ago. I've learned that that's probably, it's not the bigness of it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really, it's just.
Were you thinking you did like
no,
him or?
No, it just happened to come with him.
Okay.
That's all. It just happened to come with him. He's a cool guy or whatever. He does like my massages or whatever. I always get my massage first.
Oh.
And then.
Wait a minute. I need his number.
Yeah.
Well, where is this guy?
It's a massage. Oh, yeah. I need the massage first.
This local? Yeah.
He can be. He can be. But I don't know. It's been a smooth ride with us. We really haven't had, you know, we've met a lot of different people all over the world.
Yep.
And I've had great experiences. I'm kind of glad and grateful that we haven't had many bad experiences, because that would kind of probably instantly make me like, I'm cool. I don't want to do it no more.
Right.
And he makes me feel comfortable in whatever we're doing. So that makes it all the better.
Yeah.
Any amazing story that you're like, oh, I got to share this, Dave? What's that one go-to story that when somebody says, tell me about that lifestyle, what's that one go-to story that you share?
All of our situations are...
I think women enjoy multiple people more than men. Men is more of a, he has to do all this work. It's never the woman really have to do all the work. She just do all the...
We have to work. We have to work. I mean, I've seen her ass back. We got to...
She's sweaty as fuck when she's done. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we have to work. I don't know. I like a house party, maybe hotel takeover. It's been
so many.
and that's what makes it hard, actually.
Now I'm going to start doing what you do.
I would love that. Did that to look back like, you remember?
Yeah. I don't know. I think.
Because so many years in life, though, I get to the point sometimes you will see people and not even remember their encounter, but know you've had an encounter with them.
I think at first shocking moments was somebody that he knew that came to the club with us. And I think I was shocked that she went in. That shock factor, like, you know, sometimes you expect or not expect, but you kind of know what might happen or could happen. But I definitely didn't expect that. And then she became like some of our favorite times, like New Year's Eve and, you know, traveling with us because it was comfortable, but she was still real freaky. And like she was the, did you say she's the opposite of me?
Oh, but kinda. She's not around no more?
She got a boyfriend and a baby.
Oh, yeah. Not the opposite. She's just a little free spirit.
Yeah, free spirit.
Where she will worry about the freeness before she's the free spirit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like having more free spirited people around me. To bring certain things out of me. So those made for some great times.
Yeah, and a lot of times they be with people and you know exactly who they are, but I don't even think the person they're with now knows exactly who they are.
Yeah.
You wanted to tell them, like, you don't even know who you got. You better you need to go to the club, man. You'll see, you know.
Well, she did bring them to the club, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just kind of awkward and off because she brought him to the club, but she brought him in a room with us. It was just, that might have been an awkward time because she wanted me to do something to him, but I wasn't really comfortable with it. I think it kind of threw the whole vibe, but I don't even know if we hadn't talked about it.
Yeah.
And usually if we haven't talked about something like that, like a person that we know is coming, it was just, I don't like that throw off moment. That kind of threw it off because it wasn't a conversation had. And then I kind of felt bad because he couldn't get right either. So that kind of was like, that was a touchy, bad moment.
Yeah.
But most of our moments be good moments.
See, I'm going to get right.
The problem with...
I don't think a lot of guys are comfortable in that setting.
But if they drink and drink and drink and drink.
No, because I talk to guys that even go to the club and they say, like, a lot of them can't perform in front of people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people until they get used to it or did it a couple times.
I've been into 27 years now and the second I notice that there's somebody watching, it's like, uh-oh.
That's
and then I'm it's like, ooh, I gotta perform now. And the second I say I got it,
you can't.
It's like, oh, I need to be hard. Nope. It's like an off switch no matter what.
Yeah. That happens. That happened on it's all mental.
Oh, 100%.
I understand the mental. Yep. Yeah. Because I have to mentally be there. Or I'm like, let's hurry up. I give him that hoof kick. Like, come on, you can come. Let's go. You know, if I hit him behind the leg, like give him a little squeeze behind the leg.
I hate the behind the leg.
Damn.
Men hate to hurry up and come. Like, come on.
Yeah, he's gonna go and go and go and go. Somebody even named him the machine. Hey, you do not have to be the last one to leave every time.
It's not that. It's just
You know, what is it?
12 rounds.
Oh, okay. 12 rounds.
12 rounds.
Not two. I'm saying Mike Tyson.
Like, she's over there like, round. Like she'd have wrapped the cord. 12 rounds.
Not 12 rounds. Not 12 rounds. No, ooh, definitely. Like, that's definitely different for me.
Those GNC vitamins really have them going.
I don't know if I did you. One nothing. I'm done anyway. Like, all right, you ready to go? I'm about to go back to the bar and get
He's
a drink.
He's never, ever done that. You've never done that.
Yeah, I'm not. You're not getting two nuts out of me at no club. You might think it was two, but it was only one.
Okay, whatever.
What's that? What it's over with.
I do love the fact that you said that you have, like, the grab of the back of his leg. Like, you guys have a language.
Yeah, we have an unspoken language.
That
yeah.
you already know that, oh, this was like what this means. Yeah.
And it's funny that the key word used to be pineapples.
Whoops.
Remember?
Is that what, was that your word?
That was a safe word on the
safe
movie.
Word.
Pineapple. Like, if I say pineapples, that means.
That's so funny.
And that's
and you
funny.
Didn't even know didn't anything even know that. That pineapple was. Know.
That's crazy.
I've learned a lot of the lingo along the way.
Yeah.
Unicorn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A bull.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a bull was.
I didn't know what a dragon like, was.
What is that?
I still don't know what a
that's,
dragon is.
That's a bi bull.
Bi oh, bull.
Yeah, yeah, a bi bisexual. Single male.
Yeah, we just, that was like a couple weeks ago. We just yeah. encountered
that's,
that.
That's, it is starting to open up a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find couples you'll find, that, yeah, if you'll
but
find
But I haven't ran across that.
For.
Now, that might be the only thing that I think have been excluded out of certain
mm-hmm.
clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But I'm starting to see it trickle in a little more.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, before you get in the room and then a conversation.
But that's the thing. The whole time I'm thinking they're like, who can I hook these people up with? I'm the concierge guy. I'm like, I know someone that I know someone.
It's your job. It's your job. You should just take it on.
You guys are also a staple in the couples room and cheering people on.
Oh yeah.
Which I fucking love about you guys.
Oh, me us?
You guys. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he is. You're always just smiling, but
Oh yeah, you might see me suck that dick.
It's true. Oh,
yeah, you like that?
I like the fact that
visual and audio is everything.
The fact that you guys are there, or at least he is, letting people know, hey, that was a great show. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. I will.
And
oh no, every time people leave a room, she'd be like, hey, y'all, I saw y'all. Y'all was doing a great
mm-hmm.
job.
Yeah.
And
then they say, well, next time you should have came in.
The reaction, I know the first time that you guys said it to her, she was like, really? Really? What I do? So
yeah, it makes you feel good, you know.
Yeah,
it makes you feel somebody was watching and enjoying mm-hmm. and yeah. So
yeah, I love I feel like if I'm putting on a good show and if I'm giving you something, I'm giving you sound effects with the head, I'm giving mm-hmm. you spit, I'm giving you all of that so that while you're over there doing what you're doing, you can hear, you can see.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's funny to me that couples tend to have a thing when they're in the club. They like,
yes, they
they're
do.
Known for, if we're talking about a couple with another couple, it's like, oh, that couple that's always in the, what's it called, rumor, that's always, you know,
yep.
doing this. For James and Julianne, they are that couple that people run into in the couples room, or they know about them because they were their cheerleader in
when,
the couples room.
If you finish putting on a show in the couples room, there is a damn good chance that James and Julianne said something to you before you walked out of that room, letting you know how good of a job you did.
Yep.
They are always there to cheer people on.
Yep.
Place you can be to get cheered on is the Libertine Event Miami Vices Party in Miami from May 31st to June 3rd. If you don't have tickets yet, get them quick because they're almost sold out. If you can't afford tickets or just really want a chance to win an opportunity to go, get on that swingerhelp.com website. We have the link in our show notes. We have the link on our socials. Enter the contest. Write an essay. Minimum 500 words. Let us know what the lifestyle's done for you, how you got in, whatever you think is the story we want to hear. Make it happen. Send it in, and you have a chance to win a $2,200 prize package.
Yes. No joke. Definitely a big prize for, I feel, minimal effort. Get your stories in ASAP.
Contest ends March 15th. Get it in now.
Now, now, now.
Back onto this episode. Boring lives.
boring lives. When we encounter our vanilla friends in our lives, especially G, all of the coworkers and colleagues that you come across on a daily basis who Monday morning see that you are drained and exhausted, and yet your only excuse is, it's Monday and yep, I'm tired. I did nothing all weekend.
Yep.
But in actuality, you've had a 3-day long swinger experience that lasted from Friday until Sunday. You have no excuses for why you're so tired.
And then I hear them start talking about their weekend. I'm like, really? Huh? All
right. Right.
Cool.
And it's nothing. You're like, really? Really? That was your fun for the weekend. I will say that it makes having the fun lifestyle that we have more difficult because you can't always share how crazy your life is and how much fun you've had, because in comparison to even the most exciting, boring, vanilla person's weekend, our weekends still blow it out of the water.
Oh, yeah. It's unbelievable. For those people that think we're just talking about sex, it's not just the sex. I mean, even just standing in the hallway chatting with people, we are laughing our asses off, just having fun, smiling, joking. Sex is great, don't get me wrong. And there's some hot shit that I've gone, boy, if somebody else could see this, wow. But just the amount of fun that we have, it reminds me of those college parties, like just having fun again, being out there, just having a good time.
I recently went out with some girlfriends on a Friday night, and I was anticipating a really, really fun time. And while I had a great time, the entire time I felt just something missing. Something isn't the same as other weekends, other weekend getaways. It was a vanilla night. What was missing was feeling like I could just completely let go and it wouldn't matter. Like, I still felt that there was some sort of something holding me back from being me. And I don't know that being me has to include being half naked or in some slutty clothes or having the opportunity to have sex with other people. I don't know that that's truly me, but whatever it is, when I'm out with my vanilla friends, it's just not as fun. It's just, even if it's doing something I absolutely love, it's still just not as fun as with a group of swingers or lifestyle people where we can just, you don't even think about what you say. You just say it.
There's no holding back. Yeah. You're being yourself.
And you're right. It's not only sex things. It's just being yourself, and that you're really totally just accepted. Like, nobody's judging.
So Julianne's talking to her friend, and she's talking about how boring her life is and how miserable it is. She's like, I'm going to help you now.
Right.
I'm going to give you this. It's going to change your life.
Like the keys to the lifestyle.
But she said, biggest thing, you got to want it. And it's not just you got to want it. You and your partner both have to want it.
Yep.
Because if one of you's not in, it will not be this. It will be quite the opposite of this.
Yep.
It will be very, very unpleasant the second you get in that car and you leave. And I cannot believe you brought me to that place. What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
But if the two of you are in and are curious and want to try it and want it, it can be life-changing. The trick is to remember, again, like she said, it's just play. This is not your life. It is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not your life. The person that you are fucking is not becoming your wife. They're not becoming your girlfriend. It is just an added bonus to what you and your partner already have.
I like calling it just play, or I like calling it play. And I've heard that, you know, some people debate on using the word play.
I've fought it many times, but every time I try to fight it, somebody has a great argument as to, no, it is play. And I'm like, yeah. Fucking right, it is with play. All right.
I like it because it does differentiate kind of play versus love making.
You play and I make love, you and I fuck, but it's nothing like our play times.
Right. And I could say I'm just fucking these people, but they're also my friends. So I'm also playing with them. Mm-hmm. Almost saying just fucking my friends almost makes it a little more impersonal. And I don't like that. I like saying I play with my friends.
I love playing with our friends.
Right. That's why I do like calling it playtime. I like the word play, and takes you back to that childhood. Can you come out and play today? Kind of sensation of, yeah, my friends are coming out and we're having a good time. And that's what it is. It is just that. It is playtime. It's left on the playground. And then we get to come home and have our time together, which is more intimate, which is more love, or really fucking, like, depends on where we're really at. Fucking. we're not playing together. We are in love. We have our relationship. There are those people who have, you know, that bring in the other people to more of an intimate setting. And that's obviously where lifestyle becomes more poly or polyamorous, or where you have those conversations and you say, I want more out of the lifestyle. And then it becomes something else. But for us, we very much enjoy playing with our friends.
Yes.
And that is what makes our weekend so much more fun than a vanilla weekend.
So then I asked James, all right, when do you have this conversation? And he immediately said, if I was single, I'd have it day one. Not even going to fuck around. Here's what I'm into. You're into it. Great. If not, call me.
I have such a back and forth debacle in my head about if I were single, if I knew about this lifestyle as a single person, how and when do you bring that conversation up and what that means in the relationship and how that progresses the relationship in different directions. I'm back and forth. I'm all over the place. I don't know if there is a singular answer for this question. When do you have that discussion? When do you bring it up as a single person? If you know that the lifestyle is something you need and want. Part of me says that you need to really, really build that relationship on a one-on-one level without bringing in other things just yet, because the lifestyle requires your relationship to be very built on trust, very built on love, and having that almost essentially before you start introducing lifestyle stuff. And that only comes from the fact that when I was introduced to the lifestyle, I was 18 years into a marriage. Mm-hmm. That was truly built on trust and love. And we went into the lifestyle very confident in our relationship, only to find out that our relationship wasn't nearly as strong as we thought it was.
Right.
The lifestyle really brought that out of our relationship, and that there were a lot of things that were like kind of under our radar. And then the lifestyle highlighted that. So it's tough to say that you should just immediately first off, say, this is a lifestyle, I want it, and if you're not down, then we can't have it.
I disagree to a point.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to bring it up.
Yeah.
You don't immediately have to jump into it with that person.
Yeah.
But if 100% this is something you expect to pursue in the future, you let them know that. You can say, hey, we're going to work on us first. We're going to build that. But at some point, I would like to bring this either back into my life or into my life. And it is something that I'm interested in. Do you think that's something that you can experience with me? Because to spend the 6 months, 1, 2, 3, 4 years building that relationship, keeping that part of you hidden, and then going, hey, I'm kind of into this. And them going, no fucking way. Mm-hmm. Now you're either at that, okay, well, I'm going to do it behind their back, which is bullshit. Don't fucking do that. Mm-hmm. Or you've just wasted the last 1 to 5 years of your life with somebody who's now looking at you like, what the fuck do you mean you want to fuck other people? I don't trust you one bit. Now we've ruined our relationship because you kept this part of you hidden for the last 5 years.
Right.
A lot has to do with age and maturity.
And that's exactly what Julianne says, which I 100% agree at that point, because I have very different viewpoints today as a mature woman as I did as a 20-something year old girl.
Yep.
If somebody had said to me as a 20-something year old girl, if my potential partner had said to me, hey, I'm interested in this lifestyle where you sleep with other people, but you're still just with this one person, I would have immediately said, absolutely not. There's no way. Because in my mind, I was still highly impressionable by the world that I grew up in, and that was out of the norm. And if anybody wanted something outside of that, they were just looking for a way to cheat on their spouse or looking for a way to not have to commit to their spouse.
But now 10 or 15 years ago, it wasn't a, I'm not going to say accepted option, but now ethical non-monogamy. I mean, there are 6 or 7 brand new shows on Netflix and Hulu the last month or two.
Yes.
That this is becoming more mainstream.
Yes.
If you type ENM on your profile on Tinder or Hinge or whatever, people know exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. People are aware of it and people are seeking that out.
Yes.
It's not that big of a shock anymore.
Slowly, it's getting there. But I still don't think that a standard 20-something year old does not have the maturity level to deal with the lifestyle at a level that is completely accepting of what the lifestyle is. Mm-hmm. And it's solely based on the fact that they could not have had enough experiences in their life yet to fully understand seeing their partner with somebody else and accepting that their partner is able to both love them and be sexually active with somebody else. They haven't had enough life experiences to be able to put aside some of the jealousies and uncomfortable feelings that they're going to have to live through. Mm-hmm. Now, once they have all that under their belt, I do think that the lifestyle is a great place for them. Unfortunately, I don't think it's a place for them to learn all of those things. Those things have to be learned over time through their own life before they can attempt to have a successful lifestyle relationship.
That being said, we've seen a lot of 20-somethings getting into the lifestyle, and they seem to be sticking around.
And I think a lot of that has to do with them being raised in a world where it's okay to have this, but I still don't think emotionally they are ready for that.
I think they face bigger struggles and moments of jealousy and learning moments than those of us who have experienced those learning moments in a monogamous relationship, or in some cases, in many, many non-monogamous relationships. Another question I asked was, what if you have a friend who's into it and you're like, I want to do that. I want to do that. And he said, go to dinner with your friend and have them bring it up. Great idea. Not on you. Now they're telling their stories. Be prepared. If your partner is 100% not fucking down, them going, we're not hanging out with them anymore. Clearly they want to fuck us. It's always that first assumption when you tell someone who is not in the lifestyle, hey, I'm in this lifestyle. This is what we do. In their head, they're going, oh, you're telling me that because you want to fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not. We're just sharing our stories with you.
Yeah.
Getting your partner past that is going to be a challenge if they're not into it.
Yeah, that's a tough call because you have to either be very sure that your partner is going to react positively or very ready for the negative reaction and how that's going to play out between the relationship and you and whoever brought it up. Because I agree, a lot of the very initial reaction to the lifestyle is going to be negative, whether it's a, oh, they just want to fuck us, or why are they telling me this? Because that's just nasty, or I'm just not down with that. That's gross. And now I don't like them as people because they can do that. And I'm not capable, or I don't see myself being able to do that.
And there's a good chance that that will be the reaction.
You know, like, we can't hang out with those people anymore. They're terrible people. They're gross.
And that may be the initial reaction.
Right.
But it planted the seed and gives you that opportunity to go, I was thinking about that. That's kind of hot. I'd like to see you do this. What if we did this? And build from there.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful.
Right. Tread cautiously.
Again, we've said it before. It's not for everyone, but if it is for you, it's a fucking blast.
And those introductory moments when it is for you are probably all that more important that they're kind of set up in just the right way so that the domino effect works and it doesn't just stop at the first couple, you know, rungs.
Right.
You gotta ease into it just right so everything goes smoothly. And I think that's what's great about hearing James and Julianne's story is she even says it's been a smooth ride for them. Mm-hmm. And they've just kind of gone from one thing to the next without much of a struggle.
I've heard of a lot of couples that will dip their toe in, that first experience isn't quite what they wanted, they nope, not for us, leave, but they still continue that discussion and it still continues to build until they're like, yeah, let's dip our toe again. And sometimes it takes two or three dips of that toe before you have that, oh, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Cool, let's chase that now.
Yeah, this is what I was looking for. Yep. This is what I wanted. Yep.
Then you start having your best experiences, and some of their best experiences are things like house parties or whatever. And James loves sitting back watching Julianne get fucked, having just been at a house party a couple weekends ago where they were talking about how they may be under the same roof, but he's in one room, she's in another, bouncing all over the place. And he's like, yeah, but I'm dipping in, taking a look.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of set yourself up in one room. You were in there a while, and I definitely dipped into that room just to stick my head in a couple of times to watch. I would be in another area, and I'd hear your level of excitement start to peak, and I'd be like, oh. And I was with Elizabeth at one point, and she goes, oh, and she goes, go. I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. And I ran into that room and just stood in the doorway and just got to watch you in those exciting moments. Like he said, that's one of my favorite fucking things, is just seeing that.
That goes to show what kind of friends we have built in the lifestyle. You are physically active with Elizabeth, and she hears my sound starting to escalate, and she knows that's a turn on to you. So she's like, no, go get out of here. Go. Like, I feel like that's the highlight here. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of friendships we build in this lifestyle, where it's not even about them getting theirs with you. It's them knowing how and what turns you on.
Yes.
And they're going to ensure that that happens, even if it's not with them.
Yes.
At that moment. Because you went back to Elizabeth.
I did. Repeatedly, yes.
Yeah.
You then said that you like it better when I'm there watching, creating my own porn, and you don't have to retell me the story.
Correct.
I still love it. Even if I'm standing there, I want you to recount to me what happened,
mm-hmm.
because then I hear the hot parts from your side. And I know what it is that turned you on, that got you going, that were the special moments in that, which I can start making sure I can recreate for you, that continues to build those hot moments for you. So
which is,
that's why I like hearing your versions of the story. Even though I was there, you retelling, hey, this is what I did. And I've told you in bed before, okay, tell me about this night. And you're like, you were there. I'm like, I don't care. Tell me your version of those events.
That's interesting that you say that, because when you're telling me in dirty talk in the bedroom and you're telling me what you want to see or what you're envisioning for an interaction with somebody, I'm always surprised at some of the things that you say, because it's not necessarily where my brain goes mm-hmm. when I think of something sexy. It's always like, oh, he wants to see that? Really? And then in my mind, I'm like, well, that isn't the sexy part for me. The sexy part is what either comes beforehand or afterhand. I see where you're going, where if I retell you the story, then you're hearing the sexy parts from my perspective.
Yes.
However, I also think that a part of that is the reverse for me too. I hear what you're telling me is sexy. So I'm like, how do I write this story to him saying exactly what he wants to hear too? Because I don't want to put all of the focus on the things that I thought were sexy, have you read through it and be like, that was good, but I wish you would have focused more at this part or on this part, because those are the things that turn me on.
But the thing that turns me on the most, and I always feel bad for the girl I'm with at this time, but the second you start making your sounds and the second you get close to coming and the second you come, I am turned on to the point that I, no matter how much I want to, I can stop fucking, I can pull out, but I'm like, too late, here it comes, because I am that turned on, knowing that you are that turned on and enjoying yourself that much. So to hear the parts that got you excited, the parts that made you horny, the parts that turned you on the most, that's what makes me most excited. And a lot of the things that get me going are those comfortable situations, those comfortable moments. Like I just said with Elizabeth, where she and I are having fun, she's on top of me, riding me, and she hears you in the background and goes, wait a second, and climbs off and says, go watch.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, mid-fucking, go watch.
And that's so much a part of all of our good experiences, is that they have typically been in a situation where I'm comfortable. For me, going into something, I don't know when I'm comfortable or not, because there are situations where I've been perfectly comfortable at the club, either in a public space or in a private space. And there's been times where I've been uncomfortable at the club in a public space or a private space. What makes each experience comfortable are the people that you're surrounded by, the vibe of the entire event sometimes will be comfortable or uncomfortable from the moment, you know, you walk into a party and you're like, oh, it's all the wrong vibe. I don't feel like playing tonight. It's very uncomfortable. It can rely on so many different things to make it comfortable. I've had experiences where I've been uncomfortable in maybe the scene, but comfortable with the people I'm playing with or something like that, where you kind of have these clashes of different emotions at the same time. And sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. And I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to it, but mm-hmm. she's 100% right. Like, if you are comfortable, all of a sudden it seems that your experience is just that much
yes.
more heightened. It's that much better. And it doesn't even matter if it's a hotel takeover. It doesn't matter if it's at the club, at a house party, at our own house. Every different experience, it changes. Being comfortable is a huge part of just making your experience pleasurable.
One thing you are not comfortable with is being the wing woman.
She talks about this ultimate wing woman. Mm-hmm. I need to find my exact opposite personality, find her, and make her my best friend. because
someone that when you see somebody at the club, and there are frequent occasions where you see somebody at the club and I'm like, all right, go talk to her. Like, no,
I can't do that. Yeah.
So they travel with this wing woman all over the place. And one of the trips was Jamaica. And Julianne said it was like sex camp. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm like, oh, sex camp. That's a fucking idea. I know Dan and Lacey had their camping trip.
Yeah.
But I'm talking like a weekend sex camp where there's cabins and you put people in each of these cabins and there's competitions. And it's just a weekend. It's like literally sleepover camp, but it's sex camp. Holy fuck, that could be a good event. I think we need to start talking to some people and see if we can put this together in the next year or so, because that could be a lot of fucking
fun. Well, can we fit in Bex's idea in that?
It could be like a capture the flag, but capture the sexy fucking slut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just picturing games and tug of whore or so. I don't know. It's
tug of whore.
Whatever it takes, you know. My head re-listening to that interview and her just the phrase sex camp, I'm like, oh fuck, we need to. You're gonna get me camping with this one.
The only
but again
way.
Cabins. No tent. I'll pitch my own tent.
I am very much looking forward to the day that we get to go to Hedo or Temptation or any of these resorts that we have heard so many wonderful good things about.
I cannot wait.
I know. We have a family and finding that time and, you know.
I also think first trip for you to these places, a couple days is perfect. It's a pain in the ass to get to Jamaica.
Yeah.
But we have direct flights to Cancun, so we may be able to do a couple of days at Temptation and call it a day. Mm-hmm. But I am also excited for you to experience that relaxed atmosphere where you're lounging around on the beach, at the pool, or wherever. Yet there's still that lifestyle, fun, crazy party atmosphere that I can go, all right, cool. I'm not wasting a couple of days doing nothing. Because for me, the idea of just sitting on a beach doing nothing is like, I could sit at home and do nothing. I mean, when I go to work, I'm sitting at a chair doing nothing. And I'm doing more than nothing, but it feels like I'm sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So I don't need to go to a beach and sit around and do what I do at work, because that's what it's going to end. I'm going to end up just on my phone going, okay, fix it, and dealing with all the work bullshit. The idea of, okay, you get your nice relaxing trip. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still a fun excursion.
Yeah, environment.
I cannot wait until we find the time to go to Temptation and Hedo. And I hope in the next year we can find a chance to start making these kind of lifestyle trips.
For sure. For sure.
Vanilla friends.
She talks about how a lot of their vanilla friends have fallen away. The limited number of vanilla friends they have are very fun and may know about the lifestyle, but they don't really talk about that stuff. It's just they still have a close bond with those people, but everybody else has kind of fallen to the wayside. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like filled in with lifestyle friends.
Yep.
We've found that very similar, very same happening in our own life.
Outside of my work acquaintances, I don't have anybody that's not in the lifestyle. And you have a handful that like literally I can count on one hand, the number of people that you would consider a friend outside of the lifestyle. And
they are people I have close bonds with that I feel if I did tell them of the lifestyle, they would likely not completely cut me out and say, I will never be friends with you. I feel they would be accepting of me. We may not talk or discuss lifestyle, but it would be something they just understand as part of me. But I don't want to go down that path with them either.
And why not? Why do you feel that these that are such good friends, which I 100% agree, these people that I know are your close friends are 100% great friends of yours.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. But why do you feel you can't share your life choices with them?
It's not that I feel that I can't. It's that I don't want to put some awkward cloud over things where I feel like once you say it and it's out there and it's accepted, that's one thing. If it makes people awkward around you, I don't want to make them feel awkward around me. I don't want them to feel as though I'm this person out there just trying to find people to have sex with all the time.
Right.
'Cause I know that in my mind, when I was a vanilla person and I heard about the lifestyle, I was judgy about it. I was judgy about people in the lifestyle and who they were as people. And why do you need to have sex with everybody? It's disgusting. You don't have to. Like, I was that judgmental person. I'm not expecting them to switch gears and be in the lifestyle. So in my mind, I think that while they might not judge me because they know who I am, they still have those kind of preconceived notions in their head. And it's going to be in the back of their head when they're talking to me about yep. stuff. I don't want to bring that to the relationship if it's not necessary. I don't need to talk to them about lifestyle. I have enough lifestyle friends that I can talk about lifestyle stuff with. Yes, it makes some things weird because why am I traveling all over the place and what am I doing?
Yep. I'm sitting here asking you this like I'm not doing the same fucking thing at work.
Yeah.
I fucking own the company. I could tell everybody there exactly what I'm doing. And if you don't like it, find another job. I don't care.
Right.
But for some reason, every weekend, I didn't do anything. I hope one day I can just fuck it. What'd you do this weekend? Oh, I went to a sex club. And there'll be that pause.
Right.
But you know what? I let it out. And if anybody has any further questions or whatever, I can start opening that can of worms.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes.
But also on the flip side of that, if I'm a vanilla person, I'm not necessarily out there telling people my dating life either. Mm-hmm. Like I went out on a date and was a really great date this weekend, but I'm not necessarily being like, oh, and the sex was fucking fantastic or the sex was awful. I'm not saying that to just everybody at the lunch table. Right. I'm saying that to only my closest friends. Part of it is that's your personal life. That's right. Not necessarily something you're talking about at the lunch table.
Right. Last thing I want to get into, and I know we touched on it at the beginning of this, but the feedback that you get from people that are watching, that extra confidence boost that what I just did not only made me excited, turned me on, got me to come, but there were people that were there watching part of it, whatever, that enjoyed it and said, hey, thanks for sharing that moment with us.
And I'm going to bring this back to the moment at Princeton, because we were putting on what I felt was one of the sexiest shows I've ever put on.
I was sitting comfortably on the couch of the room watching it, and yep, sure was.
And it was all just a natural flow of events. It didn't feel like I was performing it. It felt I was in it, and I knew how sexy it was being in it, so I knew that the show had to have been just that much more sexy. Mm-hmm. But walking out of that room, hearing people commend you for your performance and commend you for what they just got to see just is the icing on the cake. If you're a voyeur, you're enjoying watching it, right? And when you're an exhibitionist, you want to hear that you're being watched. You want to know that you're being watched, not just the eyes on you, but you want to know that somebody's taking that in and using that as something sexy mm-hmm. in their mind. Yeah, I saw that super sexy show. Now I want to go fuck my wife. You want to hear that what you just did was amazing. At least I do. I would imagine most other people enjoy knowing that the show that they put on was seen and experienced on the voyeur side of it just as much as they experienced it doing it.
And that's why I still remember that first night that you and I went to the club together and you finished putting on that show and you just finished sucking somebody's cock and James turns to me, sticks out his fist and go, damn, Nessa can suck that dick.
Thanks for joining us for a Hump Day Quickie.
We hope this brought you some midweek excitement.
If you have your own confession you'd like to share with us and our audience,
please call 844-4-HUMP-DAY and leave us a message.
Can't wait to hear your sexy stories.